The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Sean Sayre here with you this morning on Friday, May 8th, and welcome to the show. Glad to have you here today listening to us here in Pittsfield and also on 88.1 WSBR in Lee, Lennox, and Stockbridge on the PCTV Select app and on 1301, your cable channel. Glad to have you here. We have a great show this morning. We have Heather Kowalski. She's from the Bidwell House Museum in Monterey. I don't know if you've heard of the Bidwell House Museum. I hope you have. But if you haven't, stick around for the whole hour. We're going to talk all about the house, the museum, the organization, what they do, and all kinds of opportunities to sort of see and live and feel history in Monterey, Massachusetts. That's what we're going to be talking about today. I do want to do a quick thank you to everyone who came out last night for our Eats a Pizza event. You may have heard about that. We had a great turnout. A lot of people, nobody left hungry, let's put it that way. Wonderful, wonderful event. And I want to thank our wonderful staff here at PCTV, our board of directors who made all of that possible through months of planning and work. And of course, all the restaurants that participated, our sponsors for the program, Berkshire Hills Country Club for donating the space. It all came together pretty well, and we're really, really thankful and happy that people came out and supported your community media stations, WTBR-FM and Pittsfield Community Television. So thank you very much for that, and hopefully we'll see you again next year for Eats a Pizza. Let's move on to our weather forecast here and see what we have in store for us today from the National Weather Service before we go on with the show. Here we go.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, mostly sunny. Scattered showers this afternoon. Highs in the mid-50s. West wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 25 miles per hour. Chance of rain 30%. Tonight, mostly clear in the evening, then becoming partly cloudy. Lows in the mid-30s. West wind 5 to 10 miles per hour with gusts up to 20 miles per hour, becoming south after midnight, Saturday, showers. Highs in the lower 50s. South wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain 90%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right, there you have it. Not a bad spring day. A couple days coming up. We got to enjoy that. I hear Mother's Day is going to be kind of nice on Sunday, at least the first part of it, which is probably the most important part anyway. Make sure that we get some nice weather to celebrate all the mothers out there. And a happy Mother's Day in advance to everybody. I will say that right now. All right. Again, Morning Drive, welcoming you to the show. And Heather Kowalski, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good, thank you. Thanks for making the trip up. And glad to have you here on the show to talk about the Bidwell House Museum.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
So let's start out with you, first of all, and tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, history, and how you got to the position that you have as executive director of the Bidwell House Museum.
Sure. So I moved here to the Berkshires about 10 years, well, almost 11 years ago from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Mm. And so my undergraduate degree is in art history. And I did, I spent about 20 years in Pittsburgh. And so I worked at the Carnegie Museum of Art. I worked at the Andy Warhol Museum for 11 years. Oh. I was their registrar. And the registrar position is a very behind the scenes position. It's kind of the position that kind of manages the collection, manages where the art's going, keeping track of everything. And then I moved here to the Berkshires in 2015 when my husband got a job in the area, which was great. Our kids were young. We loved that. This has been a great place for them to grow up. Mm-hmm. And so there was a part-time job at the Bidwell House. And I've always loved historic architecture and thought it would be a really interesting, just such a complete 180 from working at the Andy Warhol Museum work at an historic house from the 1760s. And so I was there for about a year and a half. And then the director, Barbara Palmer, left. She's actually up at the Williams College Museum of Art.
Oh, wow.
Now she's one of their assistant directors. And so the director position opened up in 2017. And so I've been director there now for 9 years.
Oh, fantastic. That's quite a varied resume, and it must have been a little bit of a culture shock, right, coming from Andy Warhol Museum?
It is. It was a very different job, but it kind of in the best way. Mm-hmm. It was just, there was definitely a learning curve because this is a much more forward-facing job than my last one. But it's been a great learning curve. You know, it's been really fun. It's been very different. I love it. The Bidwell House is great.
Well, there are so many tucked away gems here in Berkshire County when it comes to arts and culture and museums. And, you know, you sort of think of the big ones, and these are the things that attract people from outside of the county, from outside of the state in a lot of ways. Definitely in those summer months in the middle of the year to come and explore, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we always think of the big ones, but then we think of something like the Bidwell House Museum, and you're like, okay, I want to know more about that. So that was kind of our impetus to get this show today. Mm-hmm. So I want to know more about a little bit of the history of this house.
Sure.
So why is the house important, and why did it become a museum?
Sure. And a lot of people ask that. They come for a tour, and they say, why in the world is this beautiful house a mile down a dirt road in the middle of the woods? You know, they just... So the Bidwell House was built in the 1760s, and it was built for a man named Adonijah Bidwell. And he was the first minister of what at the time was called Township Number 1, which is Monterey and Tyringham today. They were all one big town.
And that was probably at a time when there weren't a lot of incorporated towns in the Berkshires. Oh, this is pre-Revolutionary War.
The town itself had not been a town for very long. And a lot of the select board, you know, some of them I think were even still living over in the Boston area before they created Township Number 1. So Adonijah was the first minister, and he lived on the property probably from about 1750, but he actually built this house in the 1760s, and he lived there with his family until he died in 1784. And where we're located, we are at the end of a dirt road. You know, it's really beautiful. We're in the woods, and the township number one was originally supposed to be centered there. But when they eventually came out to build the town, they realized that the water source they had thought was available, I think it was the Loom Brook, was not nearly big enough to operate mills.
Oh.
And so they had to move down the hill, kind of about a mile down south of where the house is. So you had kind of the industry in one place, and then you had farms and this, you know, the minister's house in another. So the town from the start was a little bit spread out, which was not their not their intention.
And Monterey being important at that time because it was along a post road.
It was on
a
post road, right? Yeah. It was like the Boston Albany post road. You know, so it was easy to get to Sheffield from there too. Mm-hmm. It was easy to get over to Blandfield. So the house was built. You know, it was part of the community. Bidwell was part of the community. When he died, the house was inherited by his son Adonijah Jr. He lived there. He didn't live there, but he owned it. He farmed the grounds. It then passed to his son. So the house itself was probably in the Bidwell family for about 100 years. And then it was sold to like a dairy farm, the Carringtons. They made it into a dairy farm. And then they had it for a couple generations. And then after that, it passed through several owners. So there was like a logging company that had the property. There was an art school. So our property and the property next door to us were part of an art school for about 20 years.
Huh.
So it's Art School Road is where we're located.
Oh, okay.
And that's why. So I think the Bidwell House was used for like teacher housing at that time.
Mm.
And then it was a summer home for, you know, a couple families. And then in 1960, two men, Jack Hargis and David Brush, bought the house as kind of like a summer place. They were from New York City. They were dress and fabric designers. They had some friends in the Berkshires. They loved the area. So they bought the house. And while they were learning about the area and doing research, they came across Adonijah Bidwell's probate inventory. So he was the one who built the house. And at the time, when someone died, it was kind of their death inventory. People had a lot less stuff back then than we do now.
Yeah.
So you could
list. So this is a piece of paper they found.
In town, like some in Berkshire County records.
Okay.
That basically listed every single thing that Adonijah Bidwell owned when he died.
Huh.
You know, and that's how they figured out how to settle debts or pass it along to family. And so they basically used that as a shopping list for furnishing the house as they spent about 20 years restoring it. They wanted to bring it back to what it would have looked like in that time period.
Wow.
And because they were dress and fabric designers in New York, they had a lot of great connections in the antique world.
Mm-hmm.
This was in the 60s and 70s around the bicentennial when everybody wanted colonial looking furniture. So there was a lot a lot of great places that they could buy decorative arts and antiques from. And so they basically turned the house into a museum as they were, furnishing it from this list.
And they were still living there?
They were still living there the whole time. Yeah. Okay. So Jack Hargis tended to spend more time in New York, but David Brush eventually, he was a fabric designer, but then he became like a fabric restorer for historic fabrics and textiles and things. Hmm. So he spent a lot of his time in the Berkshires and ran his business from the Berkshires. But David Brush died in the 70s, late 70s. Jack Hargis in the 80s, and they left the house to a nonprofit.
Wow.
And so then the house opened as a museum in 1990. And so now we've been open for 36 years now.
Which actually seems fairly recent. When you're talking about a house that has a history back to 1760.
Exactly.
You know, from being open as a nonprofit from 1990 seems very recent.
Very recent, exactly. So we have this collection that isn't really, it's not the Bidwell family's collection, but we like to think that if Adonijah Bidwell walked in the house now, things would look somewhat familiar because they basically used his, we know how much pewter he has had. We know how many chairs he had. We know different things like that. And so they basically tried to buy as much of that stuff as they could. Yeah. And so so it's set up like a house.
Well, it sounds like it was exactly curated as a museum, right?
Yeah.
What you would do with a museum if you were putting something together in a new building. Except that this is in a very old building.
a very old building, yes.
And actually, it's kind of a miracle if you think about it, for a house that old to have survived this long, right?
Yeah.
Through so many different uses, through different families and different, art school and things like that. And still basically to be standing, I read somewhere that it had a couple of additions put on as well.
Yes, yes. And you're absolutely right. And we were lucky that the people who inhabited the house over the years never really did any big updates to it. They just kind of kept it as it is, which made it very easy for them to do this. But there were two additions. So the son, Adonijah Jr., put an L on the back. He actually had 12 kids. I think only 8 of them survived to adulthood. But, he had a large family. Mm-hmm. And they didn't necessarily all live on property, but he did add an addition on the back. And then in the 1840s, the grandson, before he died, added another addition on the east side that houses like some storage, a room that we think was his office. He was a justice of the peace, a carriage barn that we now use for programs. So the family added onto it. But then once the family left, nobody added onto it at all. So the house
very
kind of
interesting.
Yeah. So it was, I think for Hargis and Brush, it wasn't super difficult for them to renovate and update it because it really was how it was like when they sold the house in the 1840s.
And I would think too, there's probably some artifacts, like for instance, no electricity in 1760. So I'm sure that was added along the way somewhere.
Yes.
And other amenities, things that make a house a little bit more modern.
Right, right. Like modern plumbing was added at some point and electricity and all of that sort of thing. But it was done in a way that's, that I think was very respectful of the old house. Hmm. So, it's really easy for you to walk in. I mean, we obviously have lighting and exit signs and things like that, but there's not overhead lightings in the rooms. Hmm. We just have plug-in lamps and things like that.
Yeah.
So
interesting. And were there any sconces or things like that on the walls?
Not really. No.
That would have been later, right?
That would have been later. Yeah. And we do have some different places where we have things where you could put a candle in, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. We have done like candlelight candlelight tours with, fake candles, just to show people, this is how dark it would be.
I think people they think of it romantically back in the day, but it's like, no, it would have been very dark.
Right. Actually. Try reading by a little tiny candlelight.
Or working or anything else that we do at night now.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Doing like embroidery.
Yep. Heather Kowalski is my guest here. If you're just tuning in to Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, this is Morning Drive. And she's talking about the Bidwell House Museum, which is located in Monterey. Mm-hmm. So give us a little bit of a picture, if you will, for the radio about what the house sits on for grounds.
Sure.
What does it look like around the house?
So the museum sits on 194 acres, mostly woods.
Mm. That's all part of the property.
It's all part of the property.
That's a big
property. Yeah. And we actually had it. We had about 175 acres put into a conservation restriction several years ago. So that land cannot be developed.
Great.
So it will be in the town of Monterey. And we have gardens. We have a heritage vegetable garden. We have a number of flower gardens. The heritage vegetable garden, and we also have a small herb garden. Those would have been things that the Bidwell family would have had to have.
Mm-hmm.
The flower gardens that we have, probably not. They probably wouldn't have had time unless they were very wealthy to have flower gardens. But Hargis and Brush put them in, and they're really beautiful. So we have a gardener that and her staff that come in and keep them up for us. But then we also have 6 miles of trails on the property. And so you can come and get trail maps. You can download them off the website. But it's, I mean, the hike, there's some really beautiful hikes, you know, so you could come and spend a couple of hours just hiking. The Loom Brook goes through like the western side of the property, and there's a really nice trail that kind of runs along the brook. And it's beautiful and it's very wooded. And especially this time of year, as all of the leaves are coming out and the flowers are starting to bloom, it's just a really gorgeous place to come visit.
And you said it's sort of set up from where the town is.
It is. Yeah. So we are, you know, like I said at the beginning, we're about a mile at the end of a dirt road. And so it's very quiet. You hear birds. You might see animals. We do sometimes.
I would imagine.
Yeah. You know, you might see bears or porcupines or foxes or whatever. So it's very quiet. And the grounds and gardens are open like year round for free. So in the winter, with all the snow we had this year, we had people snowshoeing and cross-country skiing. And you can just come. We have a parking area. Park your car, take a hike for, you know, an hour or two if you want. Walk around the grounds. We have picnic tables. You could, like, bring a lunch and hang out.
It actually seems like something, it's a bit of a throwback in a way, because there's so few opportunities like that to be able to come and just walk around or hike or whatever without any kind of formal process to get through it. Right?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, we've talked for a while about wanting to have people like sign in when they get here, but it's hard, you know, and not everybody goes to the same trails and stuff. And we're so tiny, we don't have like staff sitting there like waiting to sign people when they get there. But we want people to just be able to use the trails. You can bring your dog, take a walk, you know, and we do see a lot of people from the town, you know, that come back and just, you know, hike around and it's really lovely and it's very quiet. So that's, I think that's the thing. If you really want to get into the woods without having to travel really far, you can just come into Monterey and take a hike.
And for people within listening distance of WTBR, which would be Central Berkshire County here, and then of course with WSBR located in Lee and getting that radius around Lee, Lennox, and Stockbridge, what's the trip like to head down there? How long does it take to get to the Bidwell House Museum?
So from like Pittsfield, Lennox, it's about 25 to 30 minutes. You would just go down through Lee and then through the Tieringham Valley and kind of head, you'd follow signs for Monterey, and we're kind of, you head up the hill and we're up, we have a big sign at the end of Art School Road, so you see us, but then, you know, I do think there have been people who say, like, I wasn't sure I was on the right road because it turned to dirt and I kept going and I was hoping, you know. But then if you're in...
I think Jeff Foxworthy once had the joke about you might be a redneck if the directions to your house say turn off the paved surface.
Exactly. Yeah. You definitely leave the paved surface as you're coming back to the Bidwell House. That is true.
GPS friendly, I'm sure. So if people need to find it, they can.
They can. And one thing we do recommend, though, is that we tell people to go on our website and look at our directions page, because yes, you can get there with GPS. Google Maps will sometimes send people on roads that are not very fun or maybe not even fully passable. So we do say, like, just double check our website. We have a directions page under plan your visit, because we do get people going, I drove on the weirdest road to get here, so. Yeah.
And that's perfectly normal.
And perfectly normal, yeah. In the Berkshires, we're like, oh yeah, sorry about that.
Well, the Bidwell House Museum, my guest here on Morning Drive this morning, and tell us about that website, because I know that people, if they haven't heard of it before, they're interested in getting more information about that.
Sure.
That's probably the first place they're going to look. What is that?
Right, so it's bidwellhousemuseum.org, and so you can see all of our events on there. You can read some history about the museum. You can get directions. You can learn about how to, you know, book your tour, all of that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So everything you need to know about the museum is on our webpage. So yeah, bidwellhousemuseum.org.
Great. Now, there's some other connections, too, I want to talk about, certainly with Monterey being the town that it is and was during the Revolutionary War. Mm-hmm. And recently, of course, the United States is celebrating 250 years, but that kind of goes a little back and a little forward. Mm-hmm. And you think about the Henry Knox experience, right? And Monterey was sort of a central part of that, the Henry Knox being the general that brought the cannons from Ticonderoga all the way to Boston to defend Boston. That was all before July 4th, 1776, right?
Yeah.
And so that was that a big deal for Monterey recently?
It was, yeah. So Henry Knox left New York. He started in December. Hmm. And so he traveled from December through March.
Can you imagine? Like, that's the worst time to be traveling through the New York and the Berkshires to get to Boston.
It's like you don't even want to drive a car sometimes during that time period, let alone using like oxen and horses to drag 60 tons of artillery from Ticonderoga down through New York and then across the southern Berkshires.
Right.
And so he passed into Massachusetts like in early January. Mm-hmm. And so there were some big celebrations. There was something in Great Barrington, I think it was January 7th. That was just kind of like a handover. So somebody from New York State kind of did this unofficial handover to the state of Massachusetts, and they did kind of a celebration. And so then the town of Monterey the following weekend had a number of events that weekend, you know, just to kind of commemorate the Knox Trail, because Henry Knox did pass through Monterey. They're not 100% sure on the route, but they know it's probably somewhere along Route 23 now. To get over to Blandford. And so so the Monterey Historical Society and the Bidwell House and the Monterey Library kind of worked together and did a number of programs back in January to commemorate it. But one of the things I said at the programs is that, you know, the Bidwell House was standing during when Knox came through. Yeah. So people in the Bidwell family were very likely talking about it, you know, if not maybe even seeing this. I mean, who knows, you know, depending on what the weather was like, they might not have gotten it. They might not have been able to get down there anywhere near it. But
I would imagine like today, the word got round, right?
Yes.
So if something big like that was happening where, you know, artillery and cannons and stuff are coming through your town to go to Boston to fight the British, it's going to be a big
Everybody's
deal.
Everybody's going to know about it. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But yeah, just putting that in perspective, the thing that here's a house you could actually go to today and visit and feel that history of knowing that the folks that lived here, that lived their lives during that time, and put yourself in their time for a moment, experience something like this that we're really only, you know, reading about and hearing about again. You know, we get busy in our lives and we don't think of these things. All of a sudden it's like, well, that's an amazing thing that happened.
It is,
right?
Yeah.
That really created, like, none of the rest of this probably would have happened had it not been for that artillery going to Boston.
No, and that's really, the British ended up leaving Boston because of this artillery. So, you know, what would have happened in the war if Henry Knox hadn't volunteered to do this?
Yeah.
You know, I think people do ask that question. And you think, too, what those guys went through getting that artillery through there. And because I was kind of chuckling about this in January because, you know, we had all these events planned for this weekend. I think it was the weekend of, like, the third weekend in January. And they were going to do a guided walk. So the head of the Monterey Historical Society, Rob Hooks, was going to lead a walk on a section of what he thought was the Knox Trail. And the weather ended up getting really bad. And we canceled the walk because of the weather. And I just remember at the time thinking, like, Henry Knox had to just push through.
He wouldn't have done that.
Yeah,
right?
Like, but, you know, we it's, you know, with our cars, it wasn't really safe for people to drive to Monterey that day because it started snowing really hard.
Yeah.
So I just thought that was kind of ironic. We can't hike the Knox Trail today because of snow, but
that would be the time you'd want to hike the Knox
Trail. You'd really, really get a good sense of what they were going through.
Yeah, I can imagine. And that's a rugged area, right, in a lot
it
of
is.
Ways.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So coming over from New York to the Berkshires and through, that probably would have been the hardest part of that entire
I think
trek.
So. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And then getting up, there's something called, there's a section of it called the Devil's Staircase. Hmm. That's over towards like Westfield that I think coming through the Berkshires was really hard. And then getting up that and then back down the other side apparently was like the worst part of it. So I do think that this, and it was probably the most remote. Mm. It was the least developed part because once they got to the Springfield area, there were more, you know, so-called roads at that time that they could go on. But yeah, getting through the Berkshires, I think, was probably really difficult.
Well, I think of, the area that the turnpike is built on right now.
Yeah.
They didn't build the turnpike through that area, right? And I think of some other pretty rocky and mountainous areas of the Berkshires where they chose not to build the turnpike. And there's a reason for that,
No, that's true.
So fantastic history. Heather Kowalski, my guest here, executive director of the Bidwell House in Monterey, Bidwell House Museum, I should say.
Yeah.
It is a house and a museum. and we're talking about a little bit of history and also about the house itself. Tell us, let's talk about who comes to the Bidwell House Museum.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly it's an institution right there in Southern Berkshire County where there are a lot of other summer attractions, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does the museum open for certain hours only in the summer? And how do you work that other than the trails, obviously, which you said are open all year round?
Yeah, so we do guided tours of the house from Memorial Day through the end of October. And so it's just, and we do that mainly because, and we kind of stick to our programming from spring through fall, just because, you know, especially think of this winter, we had a lot of snow.
Mm-hmm.
And we, you know, I work at the museum all winter, but it's a little bit difficult to get to in the winter. So, so we don't have tours. But we do, and we do guided tours.
You don't have any oxen to bring you to the museum.
we don't have any like sleds to take you up the road. Yeah, exactly. People who are interested in history, we say like anyone interested in history, early American life, just kind of getting immersed into a different time period mm-hmm. are the kind of people. And so we get a lot of tourists coming to the area, mm-hmm. taking the tour. And it's a really wonderful, it's a small group tour. There's never going to be more than 8 or 10 people because we have it set up like a house.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have ropes. And so we're taking you into each individual room. So there's not really room for a large group of people. Mm-hmm. So they tend to be very personable, small group.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you might, if you book a group of 4 people together, you might be the only people on the tour. And the tours last about an hour, but because they're small, you know, there's a lot of room on there for questions, like conversation,
mm-hmm.
you know, so I've had, you know, my coworker, Erin, does a lot of the tours and she's like, oh, you know, we couldn't stop talking. She'll come in like an hour and a half after the tour started, you know, because people are just really interested in history and learning specifics about, you know, the life. But so all of our tours are by appointment, just because mm-hmm. we are small.
So recommend that, obviously.
You do have to either call the museum or email. And if you go to the website, there's a plan your visit page and the tours page under that. And it mm-hmm. gives you all the instructions for booking a tour.
Great.
How
many staff do you have?
Just myself and one other person.
It's just
I'm the one full-time staff. And then we have, Erin's our part-time.
Mm-hmm.
She's our curator and our administrative manager. So it's just the two of us and then a volunteer board mm-hmm. and then other volunteers that help at things like that.
Yeah.
So that's why we do our tours by appointment, just because, you know, we're trying to do a lot of other things at the same time.
You want to make sure that someone's there to conduct the tour.
Exactly. So we only do them on Mondays, Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays.
Okay.
And then you can either pick 11 a.m., 1 p.m., or 3 p.m. to do the tour. But we do ask that everybody book mm-hmm. just because somebody might not be there if you show up at a time where you haven't booked a tour. So, but they're fun, you know, they're good tours. And if you love history, you know, and especially if you live in the area and you've lived here forever and mm-hmm. don't maybe know as much of the local history, it's a really good way to learn like what life was like, you know, when the county was just kind of starting.
Right. Well, that was kind of my question there too, is, you know, what percentage of people that you see come through
mm-hmm.
are local people versus the people who are here in the summer coming from outside,
mm-hmm.
maybe going to some of the other organizations, the larger ones that they might be attracted to, and they're here and they say, well, let's visit this, let's visit that. at today? Yeah. What kind of percentages do you see?
Well,
for
it
that?
Used to be, it used to be that it was maybe like 20-30% local mm-hmm. and 70-80% tourists.
Okay.
But last summer, I think a lot of people weren't traveling. And people were staying local, and even since COVID, we've definitely noticed more local people coming through. So I want to say last year, like maybe close to half of our tours were local people coming in who had just, you know, were just doing things locally. They weren't traveling on a summer vacation. They were kind of doing a staycation.
Yeah.
And so we had a lot more local visitors, which is great. Mm-hmm. And we'd love to have local visitors because then they learn about us. They can come to our programs. They can enjoy the grounds. Mm-hmm. You know, they can kind of add us to their list of just fun places for them to go in the Berkshires.
Yeah. I think we forget sometimes how many great things we have here. And maybe a time of reflection like that where you feel like you're doing the staycation, but you don't have to stay.
Yeah.
There are lots of things to go do. You just don't have to, you know, get on a plane to do it.
Exactly.
And maybe this year, with jet prices, you know, getting up there, maybe you're going to see a bigger local contingent this year as well.
That's highly possible. Yeah. And, you know, but we, you know, we welcome local visitors. You know, we want them to come and enjoy the property. And like I said earlier, we have so beautiful grounds and trails. So even if you're not interested in local history, but you like to hike, add us to your list of things. And we are on a few of the hiking apps too. So people, if they're looking for places to hike in the region, they'll see, you know, the Bidwell House trails on there too.
And again, I think that's a growing thing. We'll talk about that more in the second half of the show as well, along with some of the other events and fundraisers you have coming up. Mm-hmm. But let's take that top of the hour break right now. You're listening to a Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR FM. We're talking about the Bidwell House Museum with their executive director, Heather Kowalski. We'll be right back after this. Stick around. We'll say thank you to our underwriters and give you a little station ID, and we'll be back in just a moment. This is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
This is Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu.
And from Sondrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Massachusetts. Retractable awnings, retractable screen, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms. Customized solutions available online at sondrini.com.
Pittsfield Community Television has relaunched our website at pittsfieldtv.org with a new design to make it easier to find our live streams with PCTV Select, where you can watch live sports, city meetings, and more. Now it's simple to find our past shows on demand and future TV schedules. You can also quickly find information on how to be a member, our upcoming training sessions, and how to donate to PCTV. Check it out at pittsfieldtv.org.
Want more confidence using technology? PCTV offers free classes to help you navigate the internet, protect your privacy, and use your devices with ease. Whether you're a beginner or need a refresher, we've got you covered. Sign up today. Call 413-445-4234 or visit pittsfieldtv.org. Empower yourself with digital skills because everyone deserves to stay connected. Brought to you by PCTV and the Alliance for Digital Equity, keeping communities connected.
Hi, it's Jen Glockner. I'm the director of the Office of Cultural Development for the wonderful city of Pittsfield, and I also host the Cultural Pittsfield radio show on WTBR. It airs every Friday at 8:30 in the morning. Stay tuned to learn all about the arts and culture scene for the city of Pittsfield and beyond. We hope you listen in every Friday at 8:30 on 89.7 FM WTBR.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts, the Northern Berkshire Early Intervention Program is now accepting applications for an occupational therapist to support child development, empower families, and change futures. 2026 graduates welcome to apply. Apply today at ucpwma.org.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, welcome back to Morning Drive, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Also on 88.1 WSBR, Lee, Lennox, and Stockbridge, and probably parts of Tieringham and maybe Monterey, we'll find out. Also on the PCTV Select app, which is available for your Roku or Fire TV or Apple TV or your iOS device or your Android device. Lots of ways to watch PCTV Select, and of course on Access Pittsfield Channel 1301. On your cable dial. Welcome back to the show. It's Friday, May 8th, and kind of a little cloudy out there, but a little sunny. Not bad. Nice spring day that we've got coming up for us today. I'm hearing a very nice day for at least the first part of Mother's Day on Sunday. You have gotten those Mother's Day cards, have you not? Flowers, other things. Think about that today. This is Friday. You have 2 days left. Just saying for the folks out there that need to get things for your mother or any mother in your life. Do that now, please. Heather Kowalski is my guest here this morning. She is from the Bidwell House Museum, and we're talking more about that wonderful institution right after we hear one more time what our weather is going to be today. So let's do that right now.
Berkshire weather. WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, mostly sunny. Scattered showers this afternoon. Highs in the mid-50s. West wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 25 miles per hour. Chance of rain 30%. Tonight, mostly clear in the evening, then becoming partly cloudy. Lows in the mid-30s. West wind 5 to 10 miles per hour with gusts up to 20 miles per hour, becoming south after midnight, Saturday, showers. Highs in the lower 50s. South wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain 90%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Okay, so I hear we're getting some scattered showers later today. I'm looking outside right now, and it's still a little sunny out there, so I'll go with that. But scattered showers means you may not get them, right? That's I'm going to interpret it that way. I'm going to be an optimist here this morning. All right, Morning Drive returns, and Heather Kowalski, thanks again for joining me here today and teaching us all about the Bidwell House Museum located in Monterey.
Sure, happy to be here.
I read, as I was preparing for the show, Monterey was actually, the town Monterey was named, it was part of Tieringham at one point, but then it was named around the time of the Mexican-American War, right? It was named after a town in Mexico.
It was. And this was, I think, in the 1840s. And I think that they didn't have any control over what their name was. They were just separating into a new town. And I think the next name on the list was Monterey. And I feel like there was another one that they could have chosen from.
I think they said Palo Alto.
Palo Alto, yes, I know.
We could have had Silicon Valley here.
I know. And I only just learned that not too long ago. So I thought that was pretty funny that, yeah, we could have been Palo Alto, Massachusetts.
And yet you're in Monterey.
Yes.
And yes, so it's not bad. We know where Monterey is.
Yes, yes.
So let's talk about the upcoming season, since we've learned a lot of the history now of the Bidwell House and the museum.
Mm-hmm.
You have a big season coming up, and you start when?
So we start Memorial Day weekend. So our first event is kind of an opening concert celebration. It's a woman named Diane Terrace. So she's actually from Pittsfield. She lives over in Boston now. But she does these wonderful historical music programs. And so she's done a number of programs for us over the years. She sings historical music, or sometimes she writes music about historical events. And so the program that she's doing for us is called Surprising But True. And where she's just talking about singing songs kind of about true stories in history that might be delightfully surprising, you know. And so one of the ones that she's going to sing about, there was a woman named Deborah Sampson who actually disguised herself as a man and fought in the Revolutionary War.
That's quite the story.
She has an amazing story. I would look her up online. And she was only discovered because she got injured, and the doctor treating her discovered that she was not a man. Mm-hmm. But she passed. I mean, she fought for a little bit. And then eventually she spent time fighting to get a pension because she had fought, but she was a woman. So she didn't qualify for an army pension. So she fought and I think eventually got her pension. But she has a really fascinating story. So that's just one of the stories that I think Diane is going to sing about.
And this was a local person as well?
She was Central Massachusetts, I don't think she was local to the Berkshires, but she was from Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. So that's just kind of one of the stories that Diane's going to sing about.
These are original songs that she does?
So some of them are, and some of them, so one of them, I know she had something she was going to sing about, the song Yankee Doodle Dandy, so she's going to sing that song, but I guess she has some really fun stories about the origins of that song, some of which aren't very family friendly, I guess.
Probably can't talk about it on the radio.
Exactly. So she'll be there. So this will be on Sunday, May 24th at 2 p.m. She'll be at the museum singing. And then we'll have a small reception afterwards. And then Monday, Memorial Day, is when tours start. I do think we already have someone booked for started, but people have already been booking tours, which has been really great.
Well, that's great. How do people book tours, just to put that out there, if they're interested in doing that?
So they would either call the museum. Can I say the phone number?
Yeah, absolutely.
So 413-528-6888, or they can email us at bidwellhm2@gmail.com. And just request a tour. And as I said in the last half hour, it's Monday, Thursdays, Fridays, or Saturdays at either 11, 1, or 3 are the tour times. Okay. So you can email or call. You just have to make sure that you hear back from us before you confirm.
You can't just show up. I called them and told them when I was coming.
Exactly. So call, wait till we get back to you. And we do like to have people call us and contact us 24 hours in advance because, as I've said, we are kind of a small shop. So just make sure that time's available,
So that's Memorial Day weekend.
Yes.
That's a big kickoff for you.
Yes, that's our kickoff.
And then sort of things get going. And then what do you have after that? You have some history talks. I'd like to know more about that.
Sure. So every summer we do a history talk series. So we try to find speakers who are talking either about Berkshire history, New England history, life at that time. So this summer we have 4 talks. The first one, I have paper just so I make sure I don't get the dates wrong. So our first talk is on May 30th. It's with history professor Sally Haddon. So she is, she teaches at North Dakota State, or no, sorry, Western Michigan University, but she also does a lot of work with various organizations in Massachusetts. She's a legal scholar. And so she's going to be talking about the first Massachusetts Constitution because the original Massachusetts Constitution got voted down by all the towns. And so she's going to kind of explain what happened and why the towns wouldn't approve it. So the current Massachusetts Constitution is not the original Massachusetts Constitution. Right. So she's going to talk about that. That's going to be on Zoom. She does live in Michigan, so it's a little hard for her to get here. And then we have 3 more talks after that. And all of those talks are going to be at the Monterey Meeting House in Monterey. We've never done that before. The Monterey Meeting House used to be the Monterey Church, but the church, it's now becoming a community center. And the first meeting house in Monterey was actually on the Bidwell property. There's no building left. Yeah. It was never properly finished, but it's where Adonijah Bidwell would have done his sermons. Apparently it was a really cold, awful building that they didn't properly heat, didn't have good windows. So they built a couple versions of it, never got very far, and then eventually built a church down in town. And so that was the Congregationalist Church for Monterey. So now it's going to be more of a community space. So we're kind of excited to have our talks in that space. We've never had our talks there before. So the first
probably seat a few more people there too, right?
Exactly. Yeah. We don't have a lot of space at the Bidwell House Museum. So we're excited about that. So the first talk in that we're going to have there is going to be on June 20th, at 11 a.m. It's called, I Have Scarcely a Mouthful of Bread for Myself or My Children, The Plight of Loyalists on the Eve of Independence.
Wow.
So an historian named Alex Kane is just going to talk about what life was like for the loyalists. You know, we all talk, we won the war, it was great for everyone. Well, the people who supported the king, it wasn't so great for them. So
very complicated situation.
Very complex situation for all of them. A lot of them lost everything. They had to flee, and some people didn't flee. They wanted to stay, and it wasn't so cut and dried. It wasn't that everybody supported the rebellion and let's have a happy time now that we've all won,
I think we simplify history sometimes, right? Because it's an easier thing to sort of get across. And, there might be other motives, more, patriotic motives or whatever, but there's always another side to the story. The thing I think was most interesting was what Ken Burns in his documentary put out there was that the American Revolution was 3 kinds of war. It was a revolutionary war.
Yeah.
it was a civil war,
mm-hmm.
and that's kind of the thing you're describing
yep.
there. And then it was also a world war.
Yeah, yeah.
All three of these things were happening at the same time. And of course, here we are in Massachusetts, really where a lot of that started.
Right, right. Yeah, no. And that's hugely significant mm. because there was just so much going on in that 15-year time period. It's really amazing. But yeah, there were a lot of people here who probably wanted to stay, but who hadn't wanted to separate from England. So
right.
So that's what our second talk is going to be.
That'll be fascinating.
Yeah, yeah. No, it should be really interesting. And that will be, and you can watch that one either in person or you can watch that one on Zoom. And so, and these history talks are on our website, so you can look them up there as well. And then our third history talk of the season is going to be in July. And it's a couple of women from a group called the Dirty Blue Shirts, I think. And they are like a collective of historians that do talks and programs all about women in like the 18th and 19th century, particularly in New England.
Hmm.
And so they're going to talk about women in their clothing during the Revolutionary War. A lot of presentations or exhibitions about clothing tend to focus on what the wealthy people were wearing at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what the kings and queens had on.
Right.
You know all of the very fancy clothes, but you don't often see what the everyday person was wearing,
right.
what they had to do to make those things, because textiles were incredibly time-consuming
right.
and difficult to create.
Hand-woven and handmade,
yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, they're spinning their own wool. Mm-hmm. They're creating their own fabric. You know, this was not the way we do fast fashion nowadays.
Yeah.
So,
and I'm sure the more wealthy people, that makes for a flashier Hollywood scene,
yes.
if you will. If we're going to remember things, it's going to be the fancy clothes,
exactly.
right? Because that's what the costumers want
right.
to put out there.
Exactly. But I think a lot of people, like, you know, the everyday clothing, is they don't pay quite as much attention to that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what our third talk is going to be about. That's going to be on July 18th at 1 p.m. And then our last history talk of the season is going to be on August 15th at 1 p.m. And it's going to be about the unknown heroes of Bunker Hill. So the person doing the talk is a man named Michael Rafferty, and he is a docent at Bunker Hill and does a lot of like historical work. And so one of the people that died at Bunker Hill was a man named Samuel Ashbow, and he was from the Mohegan tribe, which is separate from the Mohicans of, this area. The Mohicans right. were more down in Connecticut and sort of east of here. But he was the first indigenous person to die in a Revolutionary War battle, and he gets almost no attention.
Okay.
And so I think Michael's thing is that he has just been kind of fighting to get attention for the people who died that might not have been, you know, the ones we all see
right.
in our history books.
Yeah.
And so Samuel and I think his brother and some of his fellow tribesmen all fought at the Battle of Bunker Hill.
Wow.
And so he's kind of fighting to get like a monument for them. So he's going to talk about their story and how they got involved. And so that's our history talk.
That's great.
Yeah, yeah.
It brings,
so some good
brings
topics.
It to life, too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Some of these stories that aren't the more common stories.
Right.
And that's what makes it interesting.
Yeah, yeah, so, exactly.
And do you have to sign up in advance to come to the talks? What do you
so
want
So if you
want to
watch
there?
Them on Zoom, yes, you okay. would have to pre-register.
And you
do that through the website. Mm-hmm. If you want to come in person, you can pre-register, buy your ticket online, or you can just get your ticket at the door.
Okay.
So, yeah, either or.
Great. So the history talks at the Bidwell House Museum, actually happening at the Monterey
Meeting House.
Meeting House, right.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So then other things in the 2026 season? What do you have
sure.
coming?
Sure. So then we also have one thing we're doing at the end of June. We're doing what we're calling the Bidwell Artisan Fair.
Hmm.
So it's going to be a free community event. We alternate every year with either a free community event or like a Revolutionary War reenactment, which I can talk about in a little bit. But the Artisan Fair, it'll just be on the Bidwell property. We have people that are going to be demonstrating chair making. So like Andrew Jack, who has a new gallery down in Sheffield. He makes like Windsor chairs using historical techniques. So
oh,
he's
wow.
going to be decorating like or demonstrating how to make chair spindles.
Hmm.
We have someone from the New England Lace Group who's going to be showing how to make lace. We're going to be doing blacksmithing. Someone's supposed to do spoon carving. We're hoping to have someone doing paper making. So we'll have, you know, a bunch of demonstrations
wow.
set up. We're going to have music by someone. Alex Harvey runs. He's part of a group called Shinbone Alley that does like 18th and 19th century maritime music.
Hmm.
And so he's going to be doing music for the afternoon. Some of his songs are sing-alongs. So we're hoping to get enough people to come and like, you know, enjoy, mm-hmm. you know, their time and sing along. But then we might also have a few 18th century reenactors on site cooking in this camp kitchen that we built last year for our Revolutionary War reenactment. And then we'll also hopefully have some snacks. I'm hoping to get a food truck. I've had a really hard time finding a food truck for it. And scavenger hunts. We might, if we have some volunteers, have some like mini tours of the house for people who haven't seen. But it's just a free event. So people can come. It'll be open 11 to 4 on June 27th. And just, you know, stop by the museum anytime that day. You know, you can walk around, see the demonstrations, hike the trails, you know, have a picnic or a snack or whatever. So it should be a nice event.
It's a great way also to promote sort of the preservation of some of that artisan work, right?
Yeah.
The things that you described.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't imagine someone still having that craft and knowing how to do those things, like making lace or
what
a couple of the other things were.
It was wooden spoon carving, you know, doing that by hand, creating chair spindles by hand.
When everything is manufactured, you know, in a factory somewhere and it's all sort of stamped out.
Right.
This is something different, right?
Right. And it gives you a perspective when you go into a place like the Bidwell House Museum to see, like, you start to think how much time it took for every single thing to be made. We live in such like an instantaneous world now where you just go to a store and buy a flat pack and put some furniture together. But, you know, it took time and it took skill, you know, for people to do these kind of things. So we like showing those kind of demonstrations at the museum. I just feel like it really connects people with the time period.
Well, Heather Kowalski is my guest here this morning on Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM. Fantastic stories and programs that you've got coming up for the museum this year, all kicking off on Memorial Day. So we want to remind people of that and remind people again of the website, if you would.
Sure. It's BidwellHouseMuseum.org.
Great. So you can find a lot of this information and more there. And also, you know, I'm thinking about this as we're talking and I'm saying, well, all of this takes funding, right? Mm-hmm. Takes support. And we just got done last night telling everybody how much support it takes to run PCTV and WTBR-FM. So I'm totally tuned into that right now. And I'm thinking to myself, how do you keep this organization going? How do you keep these great programs working and people paid and then volunteers engaged and things like that with such a small, like you're a very lean staff at 1.5, right?
Yes.
How are you doing all that?
It's a challenge for sure. And I mean, any small museum in the area will agree with you on that. So we tend to we do fundraising events. So we actually have a large fundraising party. We do an annual fundraiser. So we're doing that in August.
That coming up this year.
Yeah, that'll be on August 8th. So tickets will be on sale on our website, hopefully in the next week or two. One of our board members has a really lovely house in Richmond. And so she's opening her house up to us. We're going to have a party there.
Very nice.
Raise funds that way. We also have museum memberships, so you can get on the website. There's actually a donate kind of a support page on the website. And if you say go to join, you can become a member. And there's various benefits. If you join at a certain level, you can be part of the North American Reciprocal Museum Association, which allows you to get into the museum for free, but then get into lots of museums throughout the country for free. Wow. So it's a really, really great benefit. And then we also do usually an appeal at the end of the year, you know, what we call our annual appeal to get some funding, and then grants, you know, and just donations. But, you know, we're constantly asking for money.
Yes.
as any like nonprofit.
I think anyone listening and can identify with that. If you're in this business, you need that to keep doing the very important work that you're doing. And so many of the programs that you offer, I heard many times this morning, well, this is free, this is free. And it's so important to also understand that you can then go and join, become a member or donate or something along with, and sort of give your appreciation for the programs that are available. Because if you don't, we know these things don't last, right?
Yeah.
I mean, here's a house and a museum that's the museum lasted since 1990, but the house has been there since 1760, and to keep it running and to keep it so viable. Right, for people to continue to come to year after year, it does take support.
It absolutely does. Yeah, and we've been kind of saying, you know, recently we've put a sign on our parking area board with our map saying, you know, the grounds are free to hike on, but they're not free to maintain. So, you know, just try to remember that, you know, when you're enjoying the property, you know, and even if somebody wants to donate $10, that's fine. That's, you know, $10, that's okay. But we do have to raise pretty much all of our budget every year. So, you know, and it's a challenge, and it's gotten more challenging since COVID and with the current economy, you know, so we're
and probably the shape of grants and things like that are also changing from the federal side.
Exactly. So that's definitely made it. Some of them were that we thought would have been good grants to go for, and now they're not so guaranteed anymore, you know. So there's a lot of challenges on the funding landscape for sure.
We were chatting in the break about how every organization has some COVID stories, right? So we're 6 years past COVID now, but we all learned some very important lessons during that time. And we changed some things and we improved some things. What is the Bidwell House Museum story about COVID? What made some improvements and changes in what you do?
Yeah, so we obviously were closed for most of 2020. We didn't do guided tours. Mm. That was the first time we had been closed for those. So what we ended up doing, we did two things. You know, there were a number of grants that came about for digital, doing like online programming. And so that was how we ended up starting to do Zoom programming, which we had been wanting to do. But as we were saying, you know, we kind of were forced to. We had no choice. We had to do Zoom programming. But something else we started in 2020 was a blog called Bidwell Lore that you can also read on our website. And we kept it up pretty consistently for about 4 years. And so we occasionally will add new blog posts, but there's just so much history there. So you can go back and we have an archive, like an index list at the top where you can look for different topics and things. But, you know, we did a whole history of the Bidwell family. We did some various local histories from like things in Stockbridge. We did some histories related to the Mohicans. We did a whole series about, now I'm totally blanking on his name.
Yeah. It sounds like a very creative time, right?
Yes, it was.
Where you had some opportunities where, okay, we have to stop everything else.
Yes.
But so what can we do to make this more accessible to people?
Exactly.
Who wrote all the posts?
So one of our former board members, Rick Wilcox, so he's a very kind of active local historian. He had been writing some posts for different things anyway. So he started just writing articles. He had done all this research for things. So he wrote a ton of posts. We had another Rob Hoogs, one of our board members, who's also the director of the Monterey Historical Society. He wrote some architecture related posts. So we had a lot of help. Wow. You know, we had a number of people and some other guest posts along the way. But we probably wrote a good 150 to 200 posts for there. And so you can get on there. And if, you know, if there's any particular topics you're interested in, you know, you can kind of go through and we do send an email. You can sign up to get emails from us. So we have like a Tuesday email every other Tuesday that is a Bidwell Lore email. And we've been kind of going through some of our older stories and just sharing them again for all the new subscribers. But then we also have a Friday email that gives you like updates on what's coming up, what you can register for and all that kind of stuff.
Do you have visitors that have been at the house and stay in touch with things like that over the course of the year? Do you sort of know where they're from? Are they, you know, scattered throughout the whole country?
We do. Yeah. No, we ask people where they're from and we do get people from all over the country. We get international visitors sometimes. We tend to get more international visitors during leaf peeping season. I think they come over and they want to see the leaves and things, but we do, we get visitors and we also get Bidwell descendants that come and come to the house. Yeah. That they're Bidwells and they know that the house is from, you know, one of their ancestors and they will come and take a tour. And we've had some nice connections and donations from Bidwell family members. So,
That must have been unexpected. Now, seeing that come through, I'm like, wow, we were, you know, almost intimidating in a way, right?
Yeah, exactly. But it's great. And we've had people just ring the doorbell and say, like, I know I don't have a tour, but I'm actually a Bidwell. Can I just peek inside?
you might say okay to that one,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah. I'm like, okay, yeah, we understand. You're family, so we'll let you in.
Heather Kowalski, my guest here this morning in the last couple minutes that we've got on the show. She is executive director of the Bidwell House Museum that is located in Monterey on Art School Road. Did I get that right?
Yep.
turn off the paved surface. You will get to the Bidwell House Museum. It's great. And I want to thank you for coming in today and giving us a great history lesson and a talk about the house and everything about it. And I hope people heard this today and get a chance to put this on their calendar somewhere. Give us again that the web address where they can get to your website and find out more about all the things we talked about today.
Sure, yes. So bidwellhousemuseum.org, and you can see all of our events. You can read Bidwell lore, learn some history about the museum. Yeah, so definitely go to our website.
Awesome. Well, Heather Kowalski, thank you so much for being here. It's been great. And have a great day. Have a great weekend. And good luck with the upcoming season. Starting again, we'll remind people on Memorial Day weekend, only a couple weeks away.
Yeah, great. Well, thank you for having
me. All right, thank you. And I hope everybody has a great weekend. And remember, Mother's Day, get those cards and flowers now. This is your last reminder. Okay, have a great day. Brian Burkle will be your host again on Monday. He'll have a great Morning Drive show for you then. And we're looking forward to a nice weekend. Have a good one, everybody. Take care. Bonky, bonky.